Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV, coming your way from our Tehran headquarters. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Mixed feelings in the air in Latin America's largest economy as Jair Bolsonaro, a far-right nationalist, is sworn in as president. Well, he won the presidential election on promises of combating corruption and crime. The former paratrooper and supporter of the past dictatorship in the country has some people worried about the beginning of the loss of democracy in Brazil. The Trump of the tropics, as he is called, has exchanged tweets with President Trump expressing support and commitment to work together. Will Bolsonaro manage to tackle rampant corruption and crime that have beset the country for long years? Which direction will he be taking Brazil in terms of foreign policy? Let's discuss those questions and more after watching a background report.
Jair Bolsonaro, who for years was a low-profile congressman, took office as the leader of Latin America's largest economy and most populous nation. The former army captain used his Tuesday inaugural speech to promise to build a united society.
I pledge to defend and respect the Constitution, to observe the laws, to promote the general good of the Brazilian people, to defend the unity, integrity, and independence of Brazil.
The far-right president is seen as a deeply divisive figure whose racist and misogynistic remarks have angered many Brazilians. The 63-year-old leader won the presidential race in a runoff vote against Fernando Haddad of the left-wing Workers' Party in October. He was propelled to victory by campaign promises to curb Brazil's rampant corruption and crime. He has vowed to fulfill his campaign promises, such as freeing Brazil of socialism, combating what he sees as the spread of leftist ideology in schools, and loosening gun ownership. Human rights experts and political rivals have voiced concern over Bolsonaro's promises to give police carte blanche to kill those who shoot at them. Analysts also warn against the threat of far-right fascism under his rule.
You kind of see a rise of the far-right fascist movement, which is scary because that means, you know, they're going to get closer to Israel, they're going to get closer to Donald Trump and the U.S. and the Western imperialists, who all plan to exploit the region, exploit the poor, and build a stronger alliance to try to fight, Russia, China, and basically any nations that are hostile to U.S. foreign policy.
U.S. President Donald Trump, of whom Bolsonaro is an outspoken admirer, congratulated the far-right leader, saying the U.S. is with him. Bolsonaro, often dubbed the Trump of the tropics, has promised to follow the U.S. lead and relocate Brazil's embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem al-Quds. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has also called for a joint front against what he terms as authoritarian regimes in Latin America, namely Venezuela, Cuba and Nicaragua. Bolsonaro's regional policy also seems to be in line with that of the U.S. He has frequently targeted Venezuela and Cuba for verbal attacks, vowing to take all action to oppose the country's governments. The far-right politician had already accused the Venezuelan government of violating the democratic causes of the South American trade bloc, calling for its expulsion from the economic alliance. Experts believe an alliance between Trump and Bolsonaro could aggravate tensions in Latin America and pit some of the regional nations against Brazil.
Okay, now let's start a debate. I'll begin with Daniel Cavalli, who's a university professor and author, joining us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good to have you with us on the show. Welcome. Now, attending the inaugural ceremony were Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. President Trump also stressed in his tweet that the U.S. is with Mr. Bolsonaro. Now, what does this indicate?
Well, I think it's very clear what it indicates, and that is that Bolsonaro is a right-wing leader who is very much in lockstep with Donald Trump, with Benjamin Netanyahu. And John Bolton, the national security advisor to Trump, has been very clear that he wants to work with Bolsonaro in toppling governments in Latin America, including Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. So I think it's a very dangerous time for Latin America. I think there is an authoritarian threat to Latin America, but it's not from the so-called troika of tyranny that Bolton mentioned, that being Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Cuba, but it is from Brazil, from Bolsonaro, who has warm feelings that he's talked about towards the military coup in 1964 in Brazil. So I think there's a lot of cause to be concerned about a possible military conflict in Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kovalik, Bolsonaro, you know, he's a military captain himself. He has named seven former military men to head key ministries in his 22-member cabinet. Now, where do you think Brazil will be heading for? Is the country likely to head back to the military rule in place there before 1985?
I think it certainly may move in that direction. And again, Bolsonaro has made statements in the past where he made it very clear that he supported that military rule. So I think we have every reason to expect a more militaristic Brazil, both militaristic towards its neighbors, but also towards its own people, including, by the way, towards the indigenous peoples who live in the Amazon. Bolsonaro has been very clear that he wants to open up the Amazon further to mining exploration and exploitation, and indigenous peoples are standing in his way. I think folks should be quite concerned about possible violence towards those peoples by Bolsonaro.
Okay, in addition to what you said, human rights experts and also environmentalists, they are concerned over Bolsonaro's promises to give police carte blanche to kill suspects, cleanse the country of left-wing outlaws, and like you also mentioned, open up Amazon to mining operations. Are their concerns justified?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very clear that this is going to harken back to the days in the Southern Cone when their Operation Condor was in effect, which was an operation to destroy the left and progressive forces in the Southern Cone of South America. And I think that is what Bolsonaro is about. And I think he wants to destroy the Workers' Party in Brazil, which, by the way, would have won the election easily had their lead candidate, Lula da Silva, been allowed to run in the election and had he been out of prison. You know, it's quite incredible that the U.S. talks about tyranny in Latin America, but doesn't mention the fact that the most popular political leader in all of Brazil, who has about an 80% popularity rating, Lula da Silva, has been rotting in jail in that country. And but for that fact, Bolsonaro would not be president today, and he's going to make sure that the Workers' Party of Lula da Silva will not be a force in that country anymore. And he is going to go after indigenous groups that are trying to protect the rainforest, and he is going to go after other progressive forces in Brazil. So I think people should be very concerned about this.
Well, on the same line, you know, Bolsonaro is known to be a big supporter of military dictatorship in Brazil. That was between 1964 and 1985, to be exact. And also is notorious for, you know, disparaging misogynistic remarks, you know, against the women and the minorities. What's expected to become of these people who are really concerned and mad at his election?
Well, I think if I were a woman living in Brazil, I'd be very concerned about reproductive freedoms, about protections against domestic abuse. I think that Bolsonaro is going to be bad on all of those issues. And again, I think he is going to be very much gunning for popular and progressive forces and is going to take a military approach towards taking them out. Obviously, this is not democratic in any way that most people consider democracy, and yet this is what the U.S. is holding up as a democracy in Latin America. But of course, that's quite typical because the U.S. has been very happy to side with extreme right-wing and military dictatorships in Latin America for decades, ever since World War II. And this is part and parcel of that. And the U.S. was part of the campaign to throw Lula da Silva of the Workers' Party in jail there, and very much behind the candidacy of Bolsonaro. And so you are going to see this joint operation by the U.S. and Brazil to mop up the left-wing forces, again, not only in Brazil, but throughout Latin America.
All right, Mr. Kovalik, Bolsonaro has promised to tackle corruption by ending what he calls traditional horse trading style of politics. Now, many analysts argue that such promises are not that easy to deliver, given the country's complex and fractured political landscape. Will he be able to make good on those campaign promises of his, you think?
Well, I think he won't, for the very reason that a lot of the corruption that we're talking about is coming from his side of the political spectrum. The most corrupt forces in Brazil are those of the extreme right, and he has sided with those groups. And so he's not going to do anything to stop right-wing extremism or corruption in Brazil. He is going to promote it. I think what he means by going after crime and corruption means a military and police crackdown within Brazil. And so I think what you're going to see is a greater suspension of civil rights and civil freedoms and more impunity for police violence against people throughout Brazil. I think that's what he means by going after so-called corruption.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's shift gears. On the foreign policy front, the new Brazilian president has called Washington an ally and also made it clear that he will follow the U.S. lead in relocating the Brazilian embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How will this affect Brazil's standing on the global stage?
Well, unfortunately, you know, Brazil's going to find a lot of right-wing partners throughout the world because there is this strong shift in many places in the world towards the right wing and towards fascism within Israel itself, by the way. And so he will certainly find very formidable allies, again, most notably in the U.S. and Israel itself. Though he will be considered a pariah by other more progressive and democratic governments throughout the world. But certainly, if Brazil were to move its embassy to Jerusalem, this would be another blow against the Palestinian people. This will be seen as another big jolt of support for Benjamin Netanyahu. And again, I think greatly to the detriment to the Palestinian people.
Bolsonaro is also critical of policies in a number of Latin American countries. You know, he regards the heads of the state, and you mentioned Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba as dictators. And that's exactly the countries that U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton calls a troika of tyranny, as you also put it. Now, what's the prospect of unity in Latin America?
Well, I think that clearly the U.S., which has sought regime change in the three countries you just mentioned for some time, is going to partner with Brazil to try to bring that about. Now, whether it will be a full-scale military operation remains to be seen, but I certainly think that that is a real possibility. For the first time, in many, many years. You know, Latin America, for all of its challenges, is not a place that has seen much interstate and international warfare. Most of the violence in Latin America has been by governments against their own people. But now, you know, we really could see some type of interstate military confrontation between countries like Brazil and, in particular, Venezuela, which is on its northern border. So, and certainly President Nicolas Maduro has expressed grave concern about that possibility. And I think, again, people need to be very concerned about that. And sadly, the Organization of American States, which is a body that should try to prevent that sort of interstate violence, now seems very much aligned with the United States in supporting regime change in countries like Venezuela.
And Mr. Kovalik, how likely do you think is Bolsonaro to push his agenda, whatever that is, given the fact that his Liberal and Social Party will have 52 seats in Brazil's 513-member lower house?
Yes, well, I think that is the silver lining here. You know, the Workers' Party in Brazil is still very strong. The progressive forces in Brazil, including the Workers' Party, but others as well, are very much aware that they're going to have to fight Bolsonaro for all they're worth to try to beat back his assault against them and the rest of the country. And I think that he may not have as an easy of a time as he believes in rolling back progress in Brazil. But the fact that he does control the military in a country that has seen military rule very recently, you know, it just ended in 1985, is of grave concern. I think he's willing to use the military against his own people to carry out his agenda.
And one last question, Mr. Kovalik. Will Brazil be better off with Mr. Bolsonaro in power?
Absolutely not. Bolsonaro represents really the face of fascism, which Brazil has seen in the past, again, between 1964 and 1985 with the military dictatorship, which I think it's important to point out the U.S. helped to bring about and support it to the very bitter end. And I think he is going to be a tool of U.S. aggression, not only in Brazil, but throughout Latin America. And so I don't think he is good for Brazil, and I don't think he is going to bring about good change in that country.
Okay, appreciate your thoughts and comments. That was Daniel Kovalik, university professor and author, who joined us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, Mr. Lee Kaplan, who is an investigative journalist from Berkeley, was not able to join us due to technical problems. I apologize for that. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.